No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Good afternoon. How we doing? Welcome back. This is the Joe Gaither Show on BC Central. And oh my gosh, we need to apologize for our absence. The summer caught up to us just a little bit. Where we last left you, our friend Kim Rankin was about to cover ACC Media Days. You've been reading Kim Rankin all over BC Central, Boston College on SI, all her coverage from ACC Media Days, and you've been reading all of her coverage from fall camp. So we are 14 days away from Boston College kicking off their season opener against Florida State in Tallahassee. It will be the second game for Florida State, as Florida State has a week zero game. So we invite you guys to jump in and join us on BC Central, Boston College on SI. You can find us on the BC Central on SI YouTube channel, or you can find the Joe Gaither Show on BC Central on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on Amazon. We will resume weekly recordings now that the season is almost upon us. It basically is upon us. We encourage you guys to join us any of your favorite platforms. And we always encourage you guys to follow us at BC Central SI on the Twitter machine and follow our friend Kim Rankin at KM Rankin 1 as she gets set to cover what might be a fun season. Lots of interesting things to talk about from ACC Media Days and over the last couple of weeks in fall camp. You got 14 days until Boston College kicks off against Florida State. Kim, how have you been? How have you spent your last month? You've been busy writing for BC Central. You doing all right? And welcome in and thank you for your time.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad we're starting things back up. I know the summer can be kind of crazy when, you know.
It's my fault, not Kim's fault, for everybody to know.
Happens to the best of us. No big deal. But I am excited for football season, kind of getting back into the school year, the academic school year, for not only football, but every sport. But yeah, we've been really busy on BC Central covering fall camp, you know, post ACC media day, stuff like that. And then also we have other sports too that have started to kick off or have started making news as their season gets closer as well, other than football. So yeah, it's been really, really busy on the site, but excited to be here, excited to have the show back, and excited to hopefully get going here in 14 days.
All right. So what I want to do in the future, I want to set this expectation so anybody listening to us with 2 weeks to go can know what we're going to try to do. Obviously, week one, Boston College is playing on Monday, so mm-hmm. we'll postpone this to Tuesday. But what I'd like to do is have you on each Monday through the season and each Friday through the season. Monday to recap the week that was, Friday to set up the week to come. We'll do kind of a double, you know, bookends of the week. That way we can break down if Boston College won or lost, and then their next game on that Friday, if they will win or lose for their next opponent. That sound like a decent plan for the fall semester?
Yeah, that sounds great. They do have a couple non-Saturday games, so the schedule might change just a smidge. But yes, overall, that does sound good. And
that's the concept. We'll adjust for the schedule, but that's the concept. That sound all right to you, Kim?
Yeah, sounds good.
perfect. Well, let me send you back a month ago, Kim. Right about a month ago, we had our preview show of ACC Media Days. You had Bill O'Brien, you had Thomas Castellanos, you had Drew Kendall, and Donovan Ezeraku. Is there a more fun name to say in college football than Donovan Ezeraku? Maybe. We'll see. He's on the honorable mentions. But all four people went to Charlotte for ACC Media Days, and you had it covered for BC Central, Boston College on SI. I'll just ask you a big general takeaway. What did you learn about Boston College at ACC Media Days?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that I kind of learned, because it came from everybody who spoke, it came from Bill O'Brien, Thomas Castellanos, Donovan Ezeraku, Andrew Kendall, is just how ready they are to play for Bill O'Brien, how like their mindset has changed from last year into this year, and just how much they want to win for him. You know, Thomas Castellanos talked a lot, both to ACC Network, because the ACC does this thing where they do the podium, and then they also talk on the ACC Network because they're live all day. And he talked to both about how much he loves Bill O'Brien, how much he's ready to basically go to war for him and win games for him, and how much everybody like on the team and not only him love and respect him. And I thought that was so interesting, because there is always going to be an amount of respect for your head coach, but also Bill O'Brien just got hired in February. Like, they haven't had so much time. They haven't seen an actual game with them. They've done spring practice, and this was before fall practice. So they did spring practice, spring game, and then like workouts. And that's really it. Like, they haven't been around him that much. They barely know his coaching style. So for that short amount of time to see, you know, all these players kind of embracing what Bill O'Brien wants to bring to the program, and kind of leaning into all of his, you know, coaching styles and kind of mindset and all that, I think was really, really interesting to see, especially so early on in his coaching career, which will hopefully last a long time at Boston College. That's always the goal. So, but yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And you heard it from every single guy. It wasn't just Castellanos, but all of them talked about how much they love and respect Bill O'Brien and how they are very ready to play and win football games for him.
All right, Kim, I sent you the notes I had before the show. I want to skip all the way down to the second to last note, because it's just a perfect segue. I've been listening over the last two or three days to try to catch up on everything that I've missed over the last month. I listened to the ACC Media Days. I've listened to the press conferences through fall camp and such. Bill O'Brien. All right, we're familiar with him here, or I'm familiar with him here in Tuscaloosa from his time as offensive coordinator with Bryce Young. Everybody remembers his time with Houston. We all know, okay, Bill O'Brien at New England Patriots, and then all the way back with Penn State. To me, and please, this is why I'm asking you this. To me, the last 2 months or so of listening to Bill O'Brien talk, it sounds like a completely different person than what we heard in Tuscaloosa. Now, granted, Nick Saban kept the assistants behind the veil most of the time, so we didn't hear Bill O'Brien that much. But every time we heard Bill O'Brien here in Tuscaloosa, it was very mechanical. It was very, let's get in, let's get out. It was sterile. And that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that is an approach with the media. Here's the information you need, and I'm done. You know, whatever the time limit is, 10 minutes, and I'm done. And really, the same sort of thing in Houston, I felt like. In Houston, when he was head coach of the Houston Texans, it kind of felt like to me that, oh, you media folks aren't worth my time. I'm coaching professional football, and okay, this is just blah, 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 blah. We're trying to get back to football, and this is boring, yada, yada. And look, we welcome anybody to comment on the Boston BC Central on SI YouTube channel, or right there at JoeGaither6 or at KM Rankin 1, whatever you like, if you disagree with me. But to me, it felt like a person over the last couple of seasons that was devoid of joy, that was devoid of life, that was just, okay, I am a good football coach. I am being a football coach because it's what I've known. It's what I know for my entire life, but not really having a whole lot of life here. And you can, I guess, blame that on the Deshaun Watson saga, or, you know, living under Nick Saban's thumb for a year. But all that to say, over the last 2 months, everything that I've heard from Bill O'Brien sounds like a completely different person. Sounds like a person who is, I'm excited to be in Boston. I'm excited to take this program on. I'm excited to take on this challenge. It just sounds like a person that has a lot more life to me. It sounds like a person who has a lot more invested to me. Now, obviously, his son is up there. They have his roots up there. But I'm just going to throw that at you conceptually. Does Bill O'Brien sound like a completely – does his approach seem like it's a lot more energized than it was in Houston or in Tuscaloosa over the last couple of years?
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you. I think he's, you know, very personable. He's very, you know
– And he was in Tuscaloosa. We'll just say that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got definitely a very much different energy for him. I'll start with Houston just because that, like, timeline, that was what he did before Alabama. And obviously we don't kind of know. And yeah, the NFL is a lot different than college. So I think that had a little bit to do with it. But also he took the role as head coach and GM for the longest time while he was in Houston. He wasn't just the head coach. So I also think that might have played into a role. And, you know, Houston has just been a really strange, you know, organization. They've had some dilemmas. And I just think it was kind of bad, you know, just everything going on behind the scenes there was maybe why. And with it being the NFL versus college kind of different. With Alabama, I mean, you know, I know we've both covered Alabama before and the standard that the Crimson Tide has when it comes to media training and what you have to say and things like that. There's a certain standard. There's a certain way you need to present yourself. I mean, we saw it with Mac Jones while he was there, you know, very much a serious face, and that rolled over to his time in New England. And you see it with Jalen Milroe too. I think Jalen Milroe is really getting more into a personality, but I did notice a lot last year, especially at the beginning. He you know, if they lost, I remember covering that Texas game and he was just kind of like, yeah, everything's on me. I just have to do better. And that's all he said to any question. So there's definitely a sort of media training and a standard that I think Alabama coaches and players have to follow and how they react to different things. And I feel like that's different with Boston College. You know, Boston College, although they are a D1 program and one of the, you know, biggest conferences, they're not one of those teams that are always up there. So you can be more personable. Yeah. You can show personality a little more. And I think, and this is like no hit on Alabama fans or anything like that, but I feel like when you make a standard in general, you're going to get reactions. Like I've seen tons of reactions from, you know, different people when somebody tries to show personality or try to be silly and then maybe they lose. Example, Texas. And they're like, oh, well, they should have focused more on the game. Or it comes from media members. It comes from fans. It comes from a lot of places. So I feel like since Boston College doesn't really have that standard, then maybe like that's one reason he could be showing more of a personality. It could also be because he just is familiar with the area. Like you said, he's got roots there. He's from the Boston area. He was born and raised there. His wife went to Boston College. He's just got a lot of feelings for that. And also really after Texas, he never really held a head coaching job. He was at Alabama, not as a head coach. He was at New England, not as a head coach. So it also could be as much as he's just excited to be back in the position as a head coach and kind of be that leader of a team that he hasn't had in at least 4 years and 11 years if you count college ball. So there can be a bunch of different reasons as to why he's showing more personality, but it's definitely showing. He's definitely very personal. I even see it when he's talking to media members at, you know, post game after practice. He's very personal with them, answers questions more in a like you're talking to him one-on-one or FaceTiming or whatever versus like the seriousness that maybe he would have given you at Alabama or New England. So yeah, I think there's a bunch of reasons as to why he's doing that, but he definitely is a lot more personal and seems like he's really, really enjoying the fact that he is now the head coach at Boston College and being able to do this.
I wonder how that enjoyment factor or just the exuding energy, excitement to be here and okay, let's take this challenge on. I wonder how that permeates through the entire program and really, I'm going to ask you about my next note right here, because it seems like it is permeating through the program. Donovan Azaraku goes to a media availability pretty recently. Mm-hmm. I missed exactly where it was, but said that this Boston College team has the capability of winning 10 games and competing for an ACC championship. And to me, being less familiar with the Boston College program and really just kind of reading up to be prepared and get this program started, that seems a little outlandish. If anyone remembers our conversation going through game by game by game by game, I think that I had it just going to a bowl game or making a bowl game and having a 7-win season. What is – is it just Donovan Azaraku maintaining his role as team leader, saying, okay, this is what we're shooting for. Shoot for the moon, you'll land amongst the stars. Or is it really Bill O'Brien say, you know, just the entire newness, regeneration of the program to say that, you know what, we can take this to a height that it hasn't been at in quite some time?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mix, you know. I mean, obviously as a football player or a coach and If you've watched Bill O'Brien after, you know, media availability after a practice, he said this before. Somebody asked him during the first week of fall camp kind of what his goal was for the program. And he went on this rant about how it's basically about winning games. You know, he doesn't have a specific mindset other than winning as many games as you can. And I feel like as a coach, as a player, as, you know, whatever your role is on that team or that program, that should be your goal, is to win as many games as you can. Because if somebody goes out, like, let's say, you know, Ezra Rocket came out and said, yeah, no, I think we should just go like 7-5. Like, that'd be good. Like, no one, like, you're not going to get a good reaction from that. You know, obviously the goal as a player and a coach is to win as many games as possible. I think 10-2 is kind of a stretch for, you know, where they've been and just kind of the history. I think they can get there in the next like couple of years, but I think that's a little far-fetched. Now, it's possible. It's always possible, especially with the ACC being a big question mark this year. You don't know who's going to be good. You don't know who's going to be bad. You have a lot of teams that lost a lot of players. You've got the additions. You don't know how good or bad the additions are going to be. So it is very possible that they could go 10-2 and possibly play for an ACC title. But I think having that goal, like 10-2 or bust, or ACC championship or bust this year, is definitely a stretch. But I'm not mad at him, or I don't think it's wrong that he went out there and said, yeah, I think we should be, you know, 10-2 would be a good, and making the ACC championship would be good. Because that's always your goal as a player or a coach. You don't just want to be like, yeah, 6-6 is fine. 7-5 is cool. Like, you want to win as many games as you can. So although I do think it's a stretch, and I don't think they'll be going 10-2 this year, I see where he was coming from when he said that, and kind of understand the idea for sure.
All right, we are in fall camp right now. You got 2 weeks until the first game. 2 weeks from today, first game is going to be in Tallahassee at Boston College against Florida State. So let's dive into fall camp just a little bit. You've had a couple of scrimmages. Bill O'Brien mentioned a 3rd-and-52 in the very first scrimmage. So obviously there were some things to work on. But he has indicated over the last couple of weeks maybe a sense of progress, a sense of, okay, it's coming together. He recently said that the install is done, the offense and defensive install is done, that it's all about kind of tweaking now and refinement at this point with 2 weeks to go, which is, that sounds to me like you're ahead of schedule.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If the install is done, with still 2 weeks to go. So, Kim, you've been covering fall camp. You've been at it for the entire month. what have been some of your biggest takeaways over the fall camp period for Boston College?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that the biggest things right now is the defenses look the most impressive from everything I've seen from it. The defense has kind of been, you know, ahead of the offense for a majority of fall camp. But I think the biggest thing they've really been working on is that they're really, really focused on penalties. I'll go back to ACC football kickoff or media days, whatever you want to call it, for a second. Bill O'Brien was asked on Boston College's day back on July 24th what he wants this team to be known for, what he wants this program to be known for. And he said, we want to be known as a hardworking, tough, disciplined football team who can make plays in critical situations. And one of the biggest things that they've been working on is limiting penalties. Last year, they had 85 penalties for 717 yards and averaged 6.54 penalties per game and 55.18 yards per game. So they're not the worst penalized team, but obviously penalties. And we know this from any team, any league in football, whether it's pro, college, you know, we all see it with all our teams. Once you start getting into that like penalty and you just keep getting penalties and those you know, mistakes that you can tweak, it's going to hurt you on a play. It's going to hurt you on a possession, and it could be the deciding factor in whether you win or lose that game depending on just how bad it is. So their number one thing has been trying to fine-tune and just be better, don't make those stupid mistakes. And yeah, he talked about on their first scrimmage they had tons of penalties, backed up sat third and 52, and he joked about how he's never been in a third and 52 situation before. He said he's been in a third and 48, but they had a hands to the face, you know, personal fouls, things like that. And it's really just been about fine tuning those issues, not letting, you know, your emotions get the best of you, and really trying to work on those things that can kind of make or break you when it comes to close games, which is something that Boston College has been known for, especially in recent years, coming so close to some of these wins and then just losing them for a multitude of reasons. But he's definitely that's been the main goal so far in fall camp, is to definitely fine tune those problems, specifically penalties. And penalties are something that not only Bill O'Brien has talked about, but offensive linemen have talked about a lot too during fall camp.
Our friend Curtis Moore the second comments on Facebook at Joe Gaither 6, and you can as well if you'd like to. Maybe it's not too outlandish. I think they are all winnable games except with the exception of Florida State and Missouri. If you look at their schedule, we've looked through their schedule, and yeah, as he puts that comment back up, I see that it's not too outlandish. Duquesne 1, Michigan State 2, Western Kentucky 3. You can beat at Virginia 4. You can Virginia Tech. That's going to be a hard game, but you could win at 5. You could win Louisville at home. It's going to be a hard game, but okay, there's 6. Syracuse 7. I mean, it's possible.
It is. I think the issue, though, with going 10-2 this year, if you're thinking Florida State and Missouri is going to be their only loss, is they play Florida State and Missouri within the first 3 weeks. So that means you have to basically win out the rest of your games after week 3, which is a difficult task no matter good or bad opponents. But I do agree. I don't think it's very outlandish. That's easily going to be their two hardest opponents all season, and they're getting them out of the way in September. So yes, it is absolutely feasible that they could go 10-2. I just think that stretch, if they were scheduled out a little more, like let's say they were playing Missouri week like 7 or 8 and maybe Florida State week, like then maybe it would be more feasible to possibly go 10-2. I just think with how it's scheduled, I think it's going to be a little more challenging, but they do have the means and the talent necessary to go 10-2 this year if they can put it together. It's just a matter of if they can with how the schedule lines out.
Well, let's tie it all together and bring it to Thomas Castellanos, because one of the comments that I heard from Bill O'Brien over the last couple of weeks was really a reaction to a Thomas Castellanos comment. Thomas Castellanos commented to the media in the spring, early summertime, that Bill O'Brien was one of the biggest blessings of his career. And you mentioned it, Kim. They've only been up there since February. So you've only been on the job for 6 months. And in the span of a very, very short time, Bill O'Brien's made a big impact on Thomas Castellanos. In this same reaction, Bill O'Brien was very thankful and gave a lot of credit to his quarterback's coach and his offensive coordinator. And he basically said that a couple of conversations that he has had with Castellanos led to great trust between the two. Now, you further that, Bill O'Brien was asked about a quarterback competition. Is there any competition? He said, no, Castellanos is the man. He's our guy. Everybody knows about his dynamic running already, but he commented about how much work he's put in to the passing game to become an effective passer. And really,
has commented and complimented Castellanos for getting to the facility at 6:30. Now, it's not some other quarterbacks in the country getting to the Alabama facility at 4:30, but goodness gracious, you are putting it in every single day, 6:30, you're improving your passing. What's really, if Castellanos is improved, does that, I mean, it's an obvious dumb question, but if Castellanos is improved, how much more does that really make that 10-2 realistic?
Yeah, no, I think it makes it really realistic. You know, Thomas Castellanos, he is a very good quarterback. I think he's a very underrated and kind of slept on quarterback because of kind of his stats last year. And something he talked about a lot at ACC football kickoff or media days was that he felt like he was thrown in the fire last year. You know, he didn't start week one, but he started at like week two or week three and then just like became the starter very quickly, transferred from UCF where he didn't really get a lot of playing time. And when they made him the starting quarterback, he definitely was like just kind of doing what he needed to do to try to win games. Didn't really have that mentality of what to do because he was also a sophomore, you know, kind of starting in on a new program in a school that's maybe a little different from where he came from. And it's very much a interesting concept because now he's fine-tuned it. He's talked about how he has had the entire offseason to work on his game, fine-tune it. And one of the things he really struggled with was the passing game last year. He threw 15 touchdowns and 14 interceptions and had, I think, still had about a little over, I think, 2,000 passing yards. But the reason he's so dynamic is because of his run game. He's a dual threat quarterback. He can run too, so you never know what he's going to do. But his passing game had definitely needed some work after last season. And he's worked, and with Bill O'Brien, although he hasn't been a head coach in 14 years in college football, or 11 years, sorry, I was thinking like 2013 and 24 and just kind of added, but 11 years in college football, but he's also coached some incredible quarterbacks. Like you talked about Deshaun Watson while he was at Houston, Bryce Young, who turned out to be a Heisman winner. So he definitely has that quarterback experience under his belt, even if he maybe doesn't have the head coaching. So I definitely think that Bill O'Brien being the Boston College head coach and really helping Castellanos is really going to help him considering his experience with elite quarterbacks and can kind of get him to that next level. On top of him working with quarterbacks coach Jonathan DiBiase, who he has very much praised this offseason too. And he was around last year. DiBiase was not the quarterback coach last year, but he was a part of the Boston College coaching staff. And I think that really, really helped him. And the fact he had the entire offseason, he knew he was going to stay. He's also talked a lot about how why he chose not to transfer and stay at Boston College with all the changes amid coaching. And he said that, you know, it's hard to transfer as a quarterback because you're just learning your rhythm. And when you transfer, you have to still kind of get back into the groove, get back into the fine tuning of things. And it's very hard when you just start leaving school. So he wanted to stay and kind of work on his game, work on his performance. And since he had all off season to do that, I think he's going to look a lot better this year. And having his passing game work a lot more, I think is really going to help this team and still does make 10-2 a very real possibility, although still difficult, a little more possible than I think a lot of people think.
All right, let's round it out by looking ahead in 2 weeks. Obviously, Boston College, Florida State opens the season. Boston College, I've got it as 21.5 point underdog. We'll wait to really dive into the game for next week's episode. But what I want to ask you about is maybe to balance or to compare and contrast the advantage of seeing your first opponent, Florida State, play a week zero opponent, Georgia Tech, over there in Ireland. So that's a weird opponent, or that's a weird venue or whatever. But you get to see your first opponent. You get film on your first opponent. You get a full game's worth of film. And it's not a game against Florida State, against the Little Sisters of the Poor. I mean, you can debate Virginia, Georgia Tech, however you want, but they are an ACC team. So Florida State's going to show what they have. Florida State's going to roll it out there and try to win the game, obviously. What is the advantage for Boston College seeing that and then contrast it to maybe the disadvantage of not having those reps? You talk about the penalties and you talk about working timing out. You've got an advantage on one hand of, okay, you kind of understand what Florida State has and what their scheme is and maybe what they like to do in this early part of the season. But on the other hand, you still might have some things to work out.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of the best possible, you know, situation that Boston College could be in heading into their season. Florida State is never going to be an easy opponent, regardless if you're playing them in week 1 or week 12, you know, wherever it may be. But not only do they get to see Florida State and kind of what they're working on this year, kind of see the players, which for the first time before you even have to play them. Yeah. But like you said, Florida State is playing a ACC opponent, Division I, no matter how good or bad Georgia Tech is, they're still a D1 ACC opponent. So they're you know, somewhat decent of a football program. In Ireland, you have to come back after that, you know, you have to come back and deal with jet lag and possible, you know, I don't want to say injuries because you never want anyone to get injured, sure, but just kind of wear and tear after the game, the jet lag, dealing with multiple different time zones, trying to get back into the groove of things before Labor Day night. I feel like that's a really good opportunity for Boston College, especially going into that hostile environment of Florida State, regardless if they're good or bad. That's one of the toughest places to play in college football, especially a night game on Labor Day. It's going to be a challenge regardless, but I do think Boston College is kind of in the best case scenario situation, being able to kind of see what they look like firsthand, which a lot of programs, I think there's only three games week zero. So not many people have that opportunity to watch their next week's opponent before they even have to play and kind of see what they've been working on, what they've been scheming, and what they look like on the field before you take that, you know, game, take the field on week one. So I think it's good that they get to see that. And I think with everything going on about them going to Ireland, I think it's going to help. And, you know, Florida State obviously has been a better program historically, and we can dive into that next week. But the last four out of five matchups have been won by one score or less with Boston College and Florida State. So I think it's going to be a closer game regardless of what a lot of people think, although Florida State does have a massive advantage of wins all time over them. Every game recently has been close. So I think Boston College is in a good situation right now to be able to watch them and kind of see what they've been working on, how they look, and kind of prepare for that before they go down to Tallahassee on Labor Day night.
So what I'm hearing is, if you are a gambler, which I'm not really, but a little, if you're a gambler and you're going heavy on week number one and you're losing and you need to get it all back on that Labor Day night, Boston College plus 21.5 might be your play.
Maybe. I'm not a big gambler. I don't know a lot about betting, but if you look at the historical stats, it's definitely a possibility that gamble might give you a little bit, but I will not promote or not, because I don't have enough knowledge on gambling. But yeah, that's definitely something that could really be a possibility if you are a gambler or a betting person.
So I like the lines, Kim, a lot. I love watching the lines, but I don't want to, and I have my opinion. Like, yes, if I have my $100, I'm probably, and you made me bet it right now, I'll take Boston College plus 21.5. But I have such apprehension talking about gambling, because I don't want somebody to come into my mentions. And you're welcome to come into my mentions if you get it wrong. But I'm not sitting here telling you to spend your money. That's my big conundrum when talking about gambling, because I will have an opinion. I think I would play Boston College plus 21.5.
But yeah, I think I would too. But again, I'm not a gambler. I don't do sports betting. I don't think we can in Alabama, in the state of Alabama. It's never been a big thing. So I've never been into it. I don't know a lot about it due to that. So I would never tell anybody to take a bet or to
not. I don't want to be the reason someone loses money.
Exactly. And then they get mad and you're like, well, yeah, and anything can happen. That's the wonderful thing of sports. Anything can happen. Anyone can be an underdog. Anybody can be that Cinderella team. So I wouldn't tell anybody to actually do that. But if you're looking into it, there might be a little something there. But do your research and make your decision. I'm not telling you to make that bet or not.
She is Kim Rankin, and you're following her at KM Rankin 1 on the Twitter machine. You're following Boston College on SI, BC Central SI on the Twitter machine. Make sure you listen to us each and every week. We're going to bring you episodes before and after each game in the week of. So next week, we'll get together and we'll figure out what we want to do to preview the Florida State game. Kim, I appreciate your time so much. I hope you have a great week.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll talk to you all next week.
Absolutely. That's Kim Rankin joining us, and she is the Boston College expert, the lead writer for BC Central Boston College on SI. We appreciate everybody watching us on the Boston College on SI YouTube channel. You can always find us right there. Go ahead and subscribe to the channel. She's going to be getting a lot of good videos up, as well as our show as the year progresses. And you can always subscribe to the show, The Joe Gaither Show on BC Central on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on Amazon. We'll be back next week to preview the Florida State-Boston College game a little more in depth. We touched on it just a touch right here at the end of the episode. But next week's episode will be all about the Eagles against the Seminoles as they kick off week number one on Labor Day night. We'll talk to you next week right here on The Joe Gaither Show on BC Central.